yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Nauta goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Crane, 1-2. He made it. He did it. Steamboat Slay Puzzle. And Flair has done it. Flair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, and welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000, with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, also on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. I hope that you have a great 4th of July holiday taking place tonight, tomorrow. Hope that you have a lot of fun. We'll have fun with you until 10 o'clock. As on the program, we will hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. We'll get his thoughts about the Cubs and their victory against the Tigers over at the Friendly Confines. Also, we will hear from Terry Bors. Terry Bors, 25 years in sports radio, 25 years as a sports writer. I want to get his baseball information. I want to hear from Terry regarding how he looks at the Cubs and the White Sox. That'll be at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Also, we have Summer of Football. If you love the Bears, we got something for you when it comes to Summer of Football. I don't know about you, but I'm already looking forward to the season starting for the NFL and college football. So we will have several guests on talking about the Chicago Bears and try to figure out what we can expect when they get to Bourbon A in just a few weeks. It's right around the corner. Training camps are opening all across this country, and definitely for the Bears as well. And there's a lot of optimism regarding the Bears and what they could be, not only for this year, but for the future. So we'll get into that with Summer of Football. Every single night that I'm on, we do Summer of Football, and we really talk about the great game of football and what we could possibly see for this upcoming season. So we have Tales from the Hood as well, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between at 8:35. And if you are a wrestling fan, Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, we have Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. It's very simple. After SmackDown Live is over on the USA Network on television, we always have our wrestling segment, Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, and the guest we have is Casey Joyner from ESPN.com. Love to talk to Casey. Not only is he a fantasy football guy, but also is a writer on the WWE page on ESPN.com. So we'll talk to Casey and get his thoughts about what is going on regarding some of the storylines around the WWE, New Japan Pro Wrestling, everything else, at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. So plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Before we hear from Jesse Rogers, let's talk a little bit about the Cubs. I watched the game. If you missed it, let me just tell you that that was more like it. That was more like it, what we saw this afternoon over at Wrigley Field, because the Cubs defeated the Tigers. And I feel like the Cubs are playing much better baseball as of late. No matter the opponent, the Cubs offense has to continue to play baseball and the kind of baseball that they're capable of. And before I take a look at the win against the Tigers, when I look at the entire landscape of the National League, it's the baseball haves and the baseball have-nots. And there's quite a divide with teams, because if you take a look at ESPN.com through week 12 of Major League Baseball, now, I know that we don't look at the the top 10, top 20 teams in Major League Baseball like we do with college football or the NFL rankings or whatever. But with baseball, ESPN continues to have their rankings, their top teams in Major League Baseball, the top all the way to the bottom. And so the number one team in Major League Baseball, according to the poll that they do on ESPN.com, is the Houston Astros. 55-31 at the time they took this poll. The official halfway point of the season came this past week, and the Astros pitchers broke their own Major League Baseball record, 853 strikeouts through 81 games, according to Elias Sports Bureau, which is amazing, right? So the pitching is percolating and cooking for the Astros. And so then you look at the New York Yankees. That's number two on this list. CeCe Sabathia is working on one of his best starts to a season since joining the Yankees back in 2009. He's got a 3.02 ERA. It's his best through June in any of his 10 seasons with the Yankees. Number three on this list is the Boston Red Sox, 56-29. They talk about Aroldis Chapman. After a game-tying home run off of Aroldis Chapman, how Devers were able to come through in the Bronx. Devers had a 5-for-5 game, so he's a terrific player. J.D. Martinez, very solid as well, slugging 5-10 for the month. But the number four team, after I go through these American League teams, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Red Sox, the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs are number four on this list. And they talk about the Cubs scored at least 10 runs in four straight games this week and got back to their winning ways. It was a huge week for Javier Baez, who has had 8 extra base hits and 11 RBI since Monday. I go to 5, and it's the Indians. Go to 6, it's the Brewers. Go to 7, it's the Seattle Mariners. I go to 8, it is the Arizona Diamondbacks. I go to 9, it's the Dodgers. And 10, the Atlanta Braves. And so when I look at the first team that they choose for the National League, as far as this poll on ESPN.com, they go to the Cubs because the Cubs are fourth. It's the first team of the National League that they have on this poll. And to me, the Cubs are as good as anyone in Major League Baseball offensively. I think that they're deep, they're interchangeable, they have a flexible roster. The Cubs, as a team, have not played up to their abilities just as of yet. Maybe at this point in time of the season, they'll be able to hit their stride. However, I just look at a team that could be better. And a lot of that is because their pitching is not the way it needs to be, whether it's relief or starting. I think that that holds the Cubs back from being where they need to be. The offense that they've showcased as of late has been very, very good. And in today's game, the Cubs showed power with Schwarber with the home run. Sure, so because that's really the hallmark of the Cubs, right? You look up and down that lineup, 1 through 8, and more times than not, you have a number of guys that can hurt you. There's really no soft guys in that lineup. They're all very dangerous for the Cubs. We talk about the Cubs with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So they're very, very deep, as I mentioned, a very flexible roster. As I mentioned, in today's game, Schwarber with the home run. But here's what I liked today. What I really liked about the Cubs' win offensively is Wilson Contreras going 2-for-3. I liked Rizzo's approach at the plate. I liked Almora's approach at the plate. I liked what I saw from Hayward today. It wasn't just a lot of at-bats where they're just swinging from their heels and just trying to go for the home run, because for the most part, that's Major League Baseball. So many guys in baseball are just trying to swing from their heels, and that's really not baseball. What baseball is that if you have some hairy-chested sluggers and they're just trying to swing for the fences, maybe that's, you have one or two of those in the lineup, but that shouldn't be the entire lineup. And in Major League Baseball, the ones I watch, the games I watch, more times than not, we're watching teams just over-swinging and just trying to go for what baseball's three-point shot is, and that's the home run. And so I thought that the approach from the Almoras and the Haywards and the Rizzos were much better than what we saw earlier in the season where the Cubs seemed like they were pressing. But when I look at the landscape of the National League and I look at the teams that we're trying to contend, through Week 12, in the Central, it's Milwaukee, and I think that's a good team, but I don't think that's a team that will be in a position to overtake the Cubs in the Central and win the division. I think the Cubs are stronger. In the East, it's Philadelphia and it's Atlanta. I think that Atlanta is a good young team. I don't think that Atlanta is a team that's destined for a long run in the playoffs. Same thing with Philadelphia. Philadelphia has come out of nowhere, a team that wasn't very good for a few years, and now things are starting to work in their direction. In the West, with Arizona and the Dodgers and the Giants and the Rockies, they're all competing in the West, but I don't see Arizona being better than the Cubs. I don't see the Dodgers and the Giants being better than the Cubs. So I just think that in the National League, in some ways, it's the league for the Cubs to take. It's there for the taking, but the pitching has to come together. And that means you have to wheel and deal, because Darvish at this point in the first half was not a factor. I don't expect him to be a major factor in the second half. So I think that Theo and Jed may look at the Cubs the way I look at them, as a team that's good, but not good enough to win the World Series yet. Offensively, yes. Pitching, that's another question mark. So that's the thing we got to keep our eyes on. All right, let us go to Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon got a chance to speak to the media earlier after the Cubs' victory. I think he agrees with me when it comes to the approach. He thinks that the Cubs did a really good job.
Fabulous. Isn't it fun to watch that? Line to line, two-strike approach, moving the ball with two. Fulmer's good, and I've heard a lot about him. I watched them on video, but then you see the guy. He's got that motor in him, too. He's got that little extra thing when he needs it. He's good. So I was really impressed with the way we came back against him in particular. That's the kind of guy that you keep trying to hit home runs against and you come up empty. So we finally adjusted our approach there. Some great at-bats. Two strike by Almora and Jason, I think. That was beautiful to see. Bullpen did a great job right through Stropey. So kind of formulaic. I just looking for Kyle to go more deeply into the game. But at 3-0, at that point, I just looking for something, and Tommy provided the lift.
When guys are doing that, like you've done the last few days, is there a different kind of chatter or move down the bench?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Everything's believable. Yeah. We believe in everything right now. You know, Santa Claus is absolutely true. And so when you get to that point and you get that kind of confidence rolling, you don't want to do anything to nick it. I know, like I said, just as an example, Morrow being in that game today, everybody wanted to see that more than likely, but that's the macro. The micro was keeping it going like we did, the great chatter, the great at-bats, keep building on this method. Gosh, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see our minor league guys watching this and trying to do the same stuff.
So thoughts there from Joe Maddon, the manager for the Chicago Cubs, as you were talking Cubs here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let us now turn to a man who covers the Chicago Cubs like a blanket for ESPN.com and ABC7 Eyewitness News. It is Jesse Rogers, and he's with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hello, Jess.
Happy holidays, Jay Hood. How are we doing tonight?
You know how we're doing. We're feeling like a winner, just like the Chicago Cubs. Yeah. Feel like a winner. I tell you what, I was just mentioning just moments ago that what I really liked, Jesse, was the approach at the plate. As you know, whether you're covering the Cubs or you're just watching a Major League Baseball game, we're seeing teams just swinging for the fences. They're looking for the three-point shot, looking for the immediate thrill. I thought that not just today's game, but over the last few games here, it looks more like Cubs championship baseball, where it's not all home run. It's just trying to keep the line moving.
You could not have said that any better. You really couldn't. I think you're exactly right. I don't think we can overstate how much better this offense looks than last year, than earlier this year. It does remind you of 16. It may, by October, be better than 2016. That's the goal. Joe Maddon has been talking about this. I don't think people realize, you know, that our casual fans, the transformation that's going on here. This you sort of said it there, and I wrote it in my post-game blog that's going to go up any second. This is kind of like old school. They're going the opposite way. They're not striking out. They're making contact. And you're right. It's not about the home run. They're down in home runs, yet still putting up big, big numbers. And I think the goal is to find that balance. I've kind of been talking about that lately. But it's just been, as Joe said, fun to watch. Opposite field hitting. I mean, oppo hit after oppo hit after oppo hit. They lead the league in that category. Hayward's already surpassed last year's total. It's just been so much more fun to watch than just home run, strikeout, or walk, which is what the league has been talking about and has been all about the last few years. So, yeah. At the end of the day, this thing might just be a monster on offense, which they've been waiting for. But it's a reminder, things can't happen overnight, Jay Hood. If you have a team that's doing one thing, you can't change them in one spring training or 1 month of the season. They're taking advantage of some average pitching, but Joe's not wrong. Michael Fulmer has a, you know, nice little resume to him, or at least background to him, whatever you want to call it. And they adjusted. They adjusted the third time through the order, and they took care of business. So this offense may be the best I've seen within this group, right? Or at least the best since 2016.
Sure, absolutely. The opposite field hitting, as you mentioned, is something that's very key. I just went through something that you and I – maybe not, we probably don't read and we definitely don't talk about, because when it comes to college football or maybe in the NFL, we look at power polls. But in Major League Baseball, you know, ESPN has its power poll as well, the best teams in Major League Baseball. And the first team they have listed for the National League is the Cubs. There's three other American League teams. Houston's obviously playing great baseball. So are the Yankees, you know, Red Sox. But the Cubs are the first team in the National League that's mentioned on that poll. So when you look at the landscape of the National League, do you feel like the Cubs have the best team in the National League?
They're getting there. I mean, I heard you earlier, and I agree with you. If the starting pitching was in order, I would say yes. I don't think it necessarily wins championships. You know, the old saying, with hitting, you do it with pitching.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but even with a down starting staff and Darvish, they're still pretty darn good. Now, if I'm the Milwaukee Brewers, I'm a little insulted. A week ago today, the Cubs, or yesterday, a week ago Monday, the Cubs were also the top-ranked NL team, and they had just lost four in a row to the Reds, the last-place team in the division. My point being, the Cubs get a ton of respect from everybody in baseball, and a team like Milwaukee does not. And Milwaukee can use that to fuel them. It's hard to fuel yourself when you're supposed to be on top like the Cubs. I did an event with Schwarber the other night. One of the topics we talked about was just how hard it is to stay on top. People think it's just you roll out of bed and you should win. No, you can roll out of bed and lose easily. That's easy. Play sloppy, go through the motions and lose. It's hard to keep winning day after day, year after year, and the Cubs are trying to do it for a fourth consecutive season. So all things considered, I think they're as good as anybody, but we're not there with the starting rotation just yet. You saw with Hendricks. You see, we know Darvish. We know Chatwood's problems. Look, the offense is going to go backwards again at some point. This is the nature of the game. It's going to be up and down. Right now it's up. And when it goes back down, they're going to need that starting rotation, and they're certainly going to need it in October. So I'll say that they're as good as anyone, with the caveat that they still need to get better in the starting rotation.
Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You mentioned to Fred and Nick earlier that you feel like the schedule is going to be favorable for Chicago, because with the Cubs, you know, one more against Detroit on the 4th, taking on Cincinnati for revenge, and then back on the road against San Francisco, against San Diego. So you feel like right through the All-Star break that they can really hit their stride?
Well, I think through the weekend at least. I mean, I pointed at this a while back and saw these AL Central teams without Miguel Cabrera, without the DH, and I thought they could really mop up. You never predict two sweeps or five in a row, but that's exactly what they're staring at tomorrow. The Reds are playing better, but day off, and then you expect them to win the series against the Reds at home after what happened there. After that, it's anyone's guess. San Francisco, San Diego, any West Coast trip is difficult. San Diego swept them in San Diego last year, so hopefully the Cubs don't forget about that. So I'm not going to make any promises about next week. They could be thinking about their days off coming up. But I think through this weekend, they can gobble up some wins. Maybe go on the road. You get at least a 500 record, unlike what happened last time they went west. And then you sort of regroup for the post-All-Star break. A lot of home games. We know Joe's record in the second half. So I think getting through this weekend, they should be okay. And then you just kind of survive the final six games on the road.
What's your letter grade for Kyle Hendricks in the first half of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone down certainly lately, especially. I would have given him a C+, B-, maybe a B- before last start. But last start, he really bottomed out, was a little bit better this time around. So he's no better than a C grade, if not lower, because I expect so much out of him. I think I picked him to win the Cy Young, as crazy as that sounds. I really thought he could back. If he was healthy, I really thought he could get back to stick. Well, I'll tell you why. Think about now Baez full-time at second base, which he wasn't 2 years ago when he won the ERA title. Last year was a wash for everybody. I don't count last year. So here they have this incredible defensive infield, and then Kyle Hendricks on the mound with a pretty good outfield when you think about center and right, and Schwarber actually better now than expected. I thought he could put up 2016 numbers. He's not close to that. So because of what I expected out of him, it's more like a D+. But he's pitching, you know, what's his ERA now? I don't even know.
4.27.
Okay, that's pretty high. He's a C- at best at this point, no doubt about it. The home runs he's given up, bottoming out, 2 2/3 innings last start. So, yeah, C-, D+ for Kyle Hendricks. Not very good, and he's healthy. That's the thing. Can't blame it on his finger, which he hurt last year and all that jazz. So hopefully he finds it for the second half.
I don't, you know, Jesse, with his stuff, with his arsenal, it's never over 93, never over 90. Most times he's just moving the pitches around. And you like that because not every pitcher can get it up to 95 or 100, which I understand. But to me, it's just, you know, it's like real estate. It's this location with him. I like the stuff's good, but if everything's at the same level, then it's going to be hard for you to be able to navigate the second and third time around the lineup.
Yeah, the only thing is people said that, I think, in 15, you know, when he kind of struggled. And remember, he wasn't even a sure thing for the rotation in 16, and then he had this monster year. And then, you know, last year was he was hurt, but then had a good second half. So my point is he's had success at different times throwing this way, and he's had struggles at different times. So for someone to make a blanket statement right now, I think would be silly. I think we don't know exactly what he can do going forward. He's proven both. He's proven greatness and he's proven mediocrity. So I don't know. Let's give it a little bit more time, a full season. Maybe he has to struggle for a couple seasons to really figure out who he is, or if he's great for a couple seasons. I don't know what he is anymore. I mean, he's somewhere in the middle of all this, I guess. But I do think he's better than what he's showing right now. I absolutely believe that.
Jesse, you know, with it being July, there's a lot of weddings that's taking place, a lot of bar mitzvahs, a lot of great moments happening in the summer. Is there a gift idea you can give people for the summertime?
There is. I just gave out a lot of them. Well, they purchased them at an event I did with Schwarber two nights ago at Club 400 out in Lake in the Hills. Sold a lot of Joe Maddon Try Not to Suck biography books that I wrote with a Bill Chastain. Last year we wrote it, came out in March, so it's still available out there. Try Not to Suck and get it in Amazon or your local bookstore.
Are you coming south with one of this? You're going to come around 79th and Cottage? You're going to sell them out there? What are you doing? Do you ever come south for this?
The book appearances are few and far between because of my day job, meaning talking to you and going to Cub games, going on the road. So I haven't done that many. The thing a couple nights ago was, I've done probably like five of them since the book came out, but eventually I'll get south. It may not be till after the season, though.
All right, don't forget about the neighborhood. I'm just saying.
Thursday I'm hosting with Eddie O. I'm bringing you a book. I'm bringing him a book. I'm bringing a bunch of books to some of the guys that have been so good at selling it better than I have. You are number one on that list.
I just don't forget about us out south and out west. Don't forget about
that.
That
right. I would never.
Pappy always came out. He touched the community, so you got to touch the community as well.
I know. I learned from him. I should be out there, and I will.
Well, you have a happy fourth. I know you'll be covering the Cubs and Tigers, and thanks so much for your time as always.
Jay Hood, of course, you have a great holiday. I just pulled into my boy Dennis's house. He's grilling up some fish and some steaks for me. So I'm going to enjoy myself. We're going to put on the radio as soon as I get in and listen to the rest of your show.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
You got it. Take care.
Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Chi Cubs. This hour of Under the Hood is brought to you by the Chicago Sky and the University of Chicago Medicine. They invite you to the Chicago Fit Festival on Sunday, July 8th at Soldier Field. Good to hear from Jesse, and and because he's always on it, breaking down this this Cubs team. And I believe that he's right. The thing that is holding this Cubs team back from you being all in with the Cubs is just is that the pitching has to solidify itself. Like, I know, and I would put my good money on John Lester every time he's out there. He's not always going to be perfect, but I think as an ace, I would always put my money on John Lester any game that he's pitching. Now, who else would I put my money on? And that's the question, right? You don't feel that same way about Quintana. You don't feel that same way about Hendricks. You certainly don't feel that way about Chatwood. I like Montgomery a lot. Montgomery, to me, is so underrated as a pitcher. I don't care about the spot starts. When the Cubs won the World Series, I thought that was like the best signing for Theo. Undervalued because he gave you everything anything that you wanted. Montgomery was there. Needed him to start, needed him to be able to come out of the bullpen. Montgomery is such a handy guy to have on a roster. A lot of teams that are in contention need to have a flexible arm like Montgomery. It's not like he's a star or an ace. He just gets the job done. And so, you know, when you're watching this team, you got to appreciate that. By the way, on the other side of town with Chicago White Sox, with my Sox, they're playing the Cincinnati Reds. And the Reds are up 4-2. I tell you what, if the Reds could play the Cubs and the White Sox, we'd be talking about the Reds in contention because they are doing a number on my Sox. Giolito, once again, wetting the bed, not looking great, looking like a double-A or triple-A pitcher out there today. He had a rough first inning against an up-and-coming Reds team. Since Riggleman has taken over, that Reds team is playing much better baseball. You saw they swept out the Cubs. You saw how they're playing against the White Sox. The Reds are playing inspired baseball thanks to Jim Riggleman. Things have turned around there in Cincinnati. I know there's got to be a smile on the face of Marty and Tom Brenneman based on how they've been playing as of late. All right, coming up, we'll hear from Terry Bors. We'll get his thoughts on the Cubs and Sox. That's next as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
All right, coming up, we'll hear from Terry Bors, his thoughts on the Cubs and Sox next. But first, here's SportsCenter.
ESPN Radio SportsCenter.
I'm Steve Lennox. The NFL has announced that the four-game PED suspension handed down to Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman will stand. Decision on Edelman's appeal, which was heard back on June 25th, came down today. Edelman could pursue another appeal of his case in federal court. 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster suspended by the league for 2 games for violating the league's conduct and substance of abuse policies. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Suns have offered a 5-year max deal to Devin Booker. That came in Los Angeles today. Max deal worth $158 million. Deal could be in place between the two sides by the weekend. Also from Adrian Wojnarowski, Tyreke Evans and the Pacers agree on a 1-year $12 million deal. And the Nuggets trade Wilson Chandler and a future second-round pick to the Philadelphia 76ers. Shohei Ohtani activated in the lineup tonight for the Angels as they open up a series at Safeco against the Mariners. Baseball in Milwaukee today.
The 0-1 to Thames.
Turned on, hits a deep right field, back and gone! Eric Thames goes deep! And the Brewers take a 2-0 lead.
Thames home run accounting for the only runs of the game. Brewers beat the Twins 2-0. Call on 620 WTMJ Milwaukee, first NL team to reach 50 victories. Eighth inning in D.C., Red Sox 3 in the second, 6 runs in the fifth, up 9-3 on the Nationals right now. Eduardo Nunez and Xander Bogaerts home runs for the Red Sox tonight.
It's a 4th of July ESPN Radio Major League Baseball doubleheader. The Yankees and Braves at 12:30 Eastern, followed by the Angels and Mariners at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Presented by Exxon and Mobil and Michelin. It's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Coming from the South, 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 South.
Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad you're with me here on this Tuesday night. I'd like to remind you, in 90 minutes at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, we will do Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. If you are a wrestling fan or know of one, tell them to come to your listening device, the radio, your phone, wherever you're listening to ESPN 1000. Because every Tuesday after SmackDown is over on the USA Network, we always talk professional wrestling / sports entertainment. Casey Joyner from ESPN.com. Casey Joyner does a great job on the WWE page talking about professional wrestling. It's really interesting, the things that he writes about, and I hope that you get a chance to hear that interview. We're going to talk to him coming up at 9 o'clock here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The Under the Hood podcast, for those of you, if you're driving right now and you're on your way to a destination for the 4th of July, or if you're just going to be hanging around, and I want you to check out the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood. And that is where you can find my podcast, whether it's on Apple Music, whether it is on Spotify, whether it's on the TuneIn app, wherever you find your podcast, download, look for the Chicago flag, and it says Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. That's the podcast you go to. Check it out because we've got some terrific interviews, and of course, that's where you can find all of my shows. You miss it. Listen, I'm on between 7 and 10 weeknights here in Chicago, and sometimes you don't catch the entire show. You might miss a key interview. You might miss something from our show. So we want you to download the podcast. That way you never miss an episode of the Under the Hood show, the radio show, or the podcast. I get a chance to talk to Terry Bors. Terry Bors is, if you don't know, a man that's been, that did the sports radio format for 25 years, was a sports writer for 25 years. He's a friend of mine. And I always like to get his baseball information because first and foremost, baseball is the sport that he loves the most. And of course, he's got that book out, The Score of a Lifetime, his life in sports and sports radio for over 25 years. That's available on Amazon as well. Terry's still selling that book and there might be a second book. You never know. But let us turn now to Terry Bors, a conversation I had with him. Don't forget, you can hear the interview in its entirety on the Under the Hood podcast. But I asked Terry, does he see a turnaround with the White Sox? And what is Rick Hahn really trying to do as a general manager for the team?
Yeah, it works for a lot of people. It certainly does. And Eloy Jimenez is terrific, started at AAA. So, I mean, he looks like the real deal. But some of their young guys, Jonathan, has really disappointed me. I mean, I realize it's a slow process for some, but some of them are just like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, it is very difficult to tell with young players because you can say, I mean, I know Renteria has been mad at Mercado before. I know he has, and there's too many errors, and it's not physical. He's just not where he should be mentally, and maybe that's because the team is so bad. But when it was Lopez who called them clowns the other day, right? Didn't he?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, you know, dude, that's sort of right. That's kind of true. I mean, when you get beat like they're getting beat, yeah, I mean, I didn't think the day would come they have the worst team in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati has scooted right past them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there they go, and they were just awful. They were like 3-20 or somewhere. They were just awful. So, I mean, I understand what they're doing. I think everybody in baseball has seen it before. We saw it with the Cubs. What you have to do, it's very simple, and the numbers, it seems to be better. The scouting seems to be better. Everything seems to be better. That you have to believe in those young guys. Do you believe in them? I mean, is there somebody who troubles you, whether it's in the majors or minors, and you look at them now and you say, God, you can't do that again. You're not doing that again, are you? And they do. I understand it.
I think McCona needs glasses. There's something wrong there defensively and offensively with them. There's something wrong with them, Terry.
Yeah, I know. It just concerns me too because he's such a great prospect, and they couldn't touch him. And okay, all right, we'll finally give him. All right, we'll do that. We'll do this. But I mean, anytime you do a young player, you're not going to hit them all. Well, there's no doubt about that, and nobody's ever going to hit them all. The Cubs have done a nice job of lining up some young players that are pretty damn good enough to win a World Series. But you also have to spend money. That's the part of it. That, because even if the Sox turn good, say the Sox in a couple of years are a contender again, you're still going to have to spend money like the Cubs did. They had all the kids, but they still needed this piece, that piece. Well, you know, but okay, you can come over here. Those are the moves that Rick Hahn is going to have to make. And do I believe in the rebuild? Well, I mean, by reputation, he has a lot of really good young players. But watching them, and I don't trust young pitchers. I'm just one of those guys that just has watching the Mets lose pitcher after pitcher after pitcher, and then so many young guys are gone already this year. I mean, Ohtani's been gone for how long already? I mean, it is just so difficult. And even though the Mets have Jacob DeGrom is available, that's a guy that I would probably take. Although that would people would say, why would you do that? He's always hurt.
Right.
Or Syndergaard, I would say. Yeah, he's always hurt too, isn't he? So, I mean, that's why when I look at it, it is such a roll of the dice. The Astros made it sing,
mm-hmm.
but the Astros made it sing with Justin Verlander.
Right, that's true. That's right. That's right. And they added the veteran. You had to have an ace. You couldn't do it all with youth, so that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, your job is not done, and I think Rick knows that, and I like Rick a lot, but I know what he's doing. It's common in baseball. That's what you do these days, unless you're San Diego and you give Eric Hosmer all that money, and then you got a bunch of crap around him. I don't quite get that, and now they're that. I don't quite get that, but okay, whatever. But generally you go one way or the other. You can't pick the middle lane on this. You kind of got to go. And that's what I touched on earlier about the fact that baseball has this problem now because it works, because the results of teams like the Astros have turned it around. The Cubs have turned it around. You know, perennial awfulness has become with young players and by what amounts to tanking.
Atlanta.
So,
I mean, the Braves.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, Atlanta's good. Mm-hmm. Those young players are nasty. There's some. There's another one. Yeah. Now they might be in a run for like they were last time, but they don't have Maddox. Oh, they don't have quite that. They don't have Glavin. Mm-hmm. Don't have Smoltz. I mean, they have guys that might be okay, but that was sort of spearheaded by them. You know, they're pretty good. I mean, I don't think they're going to win 15 straight division titles. Isn't that what they did? Then they win 15 straight or something? I don't think they're, you know, probably not that. But the pitching is always like the last thing on my mind. It goes, oh, my God. You know, and then the White Sox young pitcher looked good one time and then awful three times in a row and then good and then awful. So it's like I can't quite wrap my head around any of it. I just, you know, Jonathan, some of these rebuilds at some of these places have to fail, right? They can't all work. Sports isn't that convenient. No matter how good it sounds, how good it looks, how good it feels, some of them fail.
Correct.
Some of them fail. I mean, because to me, unless you win it all, then you failed. I mean, it's not done till because you're putting teams out there that are this bad, and you're going to do it for 1 or 2 years, and Sox have been doing it for a while now. You're putting teams out there that look like this, that are drawing little or no interest. There has to be a prize at the end of this thing. And to me, that prize is very difficult. I mean, it looks so easy what the Cubs did. It isn't easy. Like, so same thing with the Astros. That looks great. Look at the young players they have, and they have a ton of them.
Right.
But there's still other things that have to be done, and there's a trust factor here that I'm not, you know, I'm with you on those young players on the White Sox. I don't have much trust for some of them.
Right.
Despite the reputations and everything, I don't. I mean, I see things and I go, why did you do that again? Why you can't? You got to catch that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So maybe it all gets better. I mean, it's the only way. That's what people in baseball do. That's what they want to do. They want to do one way or the other. It's not like, okay, we can go halfway here, because that halfway stuff doesn't work. You have to go one way or the other in this sport. And that's clearly the way teams are going. That's why you got so many bad teams. I mean, and you can only hope that enough of it falls in place to make it work. But even when you get that, even if you get a core of, say, five or six, there's still a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that'll excite White Sox fans anyway. I'm not sure what will.
No, what was it? I mean, a World Series championship or sweeping the Cubs in that meaningless series in the regular season, I'm sure. I think that will make Sox fans happy, because that's really
that would make them happy. But yeah. I don't know if it works or not. I mean, it is really difficult with baseball to predict. Say, yeah, you know, I mean, when you look at a basketball team, sometimes you've seen them enough to know, yeah, that'll be okay. I don't know if they'll win a title, but that'll be okay. I can't even say that about the White Sox yet. It looks like okay. It felt okay when they were doing it, right? It all felt good. Sounded good. This guy's the number four prospect. He's the fifth prospect. He's the seventh. He's this. He's that. And they get here, and it's like I guess there has to be guys around baseball that were all there were those prospects at one time that just were no damn good.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be. I mean, I could look down and probably put a list together, but I mean, there has to be that you go, oh, he wasn't really very good. Well, yeah, he wasn't. So it's very difficult. And the White Sox are sacrificing a lot because nobody cares anyway. And now you've got this.
Boobs like Madden. Boobs meaning that a guy that would just, you know, would be lighthearted. Usually guys like that, the Jerry Glanvilles, the Sam Whites, you didn't take those guys very seriously because they, you know, you'd have a beer with them. They joke, they got the job, but you never took them seriously as being a championship manager or coach. Madden's very cerebral in that regard. He really is. Does he remind you of anybody in baseball's past as a manager, or is he his?
Oh boy!
Or is he his own? Is he his own unique guy?
No, not really, because those guys were. You know, when you look at the names of the best managers in baseball over the years, I mean, there's nobody quite like him that I can think of that comes to mind. I mean, and I think he belongs in the category. I mean, he's wacky. And that's how he approaches it. I mean, that's something he learned over the years, and he thinks that approaches even. You get like you just said, you get swept by the Reds, you put your bib overalls on and go to L.A., dude. That's what we do here, because that was a onesies trip a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I think there's nothing wrong with that, because And I don't look, I don't know if that works. I don't know if that's why the Cubs won, they finally won the World Series. I don't know that his, you know, ability to keep them, you know, going and then not, you know, be the old strict manager like some of those guys were. They were just crazy about times and play and all that other stuff is really effective. I think that Joe's approach is more of this decade, of this particular time in baseball and maybe all sports than others. But no, I can't think of a guy in baseball who I thought, geez, he's a funny dude. I mean, there's been a lot of players who are abusing and all that stuff and who kind of got it and could learn to live with the pressure and not let them kill them, not let that kill them, not destroy them. But Joe has found a unique way. And I mean, I see like Mike Socia. He came up under Mike Socia. Mike Socia has been the manager of the Angels forever. He coached for him and he was in the minor league system. But Socia isn't exactly Mr. Cut-Up. I mean, he isn't like they're not dressing in bib overalls. So I think that Joe's ideas are strictly Joe's ideas. And I don't know if there's anybody in baseball that's done it now or that's doing it now, anything like that, or in the past. I mean, Whitey Herzog was no picnic. I mean, some of the guys that were the great managers, Yogi Berra was crazy, but he was crazy in a way that you weren't really sure what he was talking about. You know, but that was sort of the way he was as a player.
Yes.
You know, you weren't not really sure what he's saying, but he was an effective manager. But I mean, you look around and you don't see guys like that. I'm not saying there are not some good guys, man. There are some very bright guys, but again, they want that same edge. They want that manager now. That's why you see a lot of new guys that are coming out of this, of a more recent vintage, because they want that guy to use those numbers. They want that guy to take those into consideration every damn decision he makes. I mean, every lineup, every starting pitcher, every relief, everything, all the way down. So, you know, there's a certain, like I say, the older baseball players really have a hard time with some of this. I've seen enough of their quotes that we go, well, yeah, he's not going to be managing anytime soon. But Joe, even as an older guy, has adopted it. He's fine with it. He's adapted it. You know, he's adapted to it. He knows how to use it. He doesn't discount it. He looks at it. He's always reading his card. He's got all the stuff in front of him. And it's difficult to find that combination of a guy who, on one hand, uses those numbers, which makes the front office very happy, but yet, two, understands that there's still young guys and it's just a game. I mean, he doesn't get too crazy about wins. He doesn't get too down about losses. He said, yeah, we'll put our bib overalls on and go to L.A. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And he's right. I mean, the Yankees got swept by the Rays.
Right.
I mean, so is Aaron Boone like hitting his head against a wall, or are they in bib overalls? I mean, I don't, you know, there's different ways to do it, but I think keeping those guys loose with all the uptight and all the other stuff that you have to go through today, and the travel and all these rain outs that have created schedule havoc with so many teams, I think that a lighter touch is a good thing. Now, I'm not sure what manager has it, what use it, but he's the only one that I know of for sure that has thrived with it.
So the thoughts there from Terry Bors, longtime sports writer, longtime sports radio broadcaster, with me here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000. We got a chance to talk to Terry, and you can hear that interview in its entirety. Again, if you are a podcast listener, just download Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download my podcast, and you can hear I think we went almost an hour and a half on a lot of different things in that conversation. A lot of talks about baseball, obviously, with the Cubs and the White Sox, about the state of Major League Baseball. We talked about who he believes is the smartest man that he's ever met in basketball. And it surprised me, his answer, because I never heard him say this before. Talks about his times with Michael Jordan, covering Jordan for the Sun-Times in the early days, and so much more in that conversation with Terry Bors. Again, you can find it on the Under the Hood with John the Hood podcast. It's our show podcast where we have our shows and special interviews like that one with Terry Bors. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have Summer of Football. We have some Bears conversations coming up after SportsCenter at 8 o'clock. We'll find out, how optimistic are you with the Chicago Bears? We're going to talk about that next as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Glad you're with us here. Day before the 4th of July here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Saw this from the Bleacher Report. Jimmy Butler fed up with nonchalant Timberwolves and Karl-Anthony Towns.
All-Star shooting guard Jimmy Butler reportedly has no intentions of signing a contract extension with the T-Wolves. According to Joe Colley of the Sun-Times, Butler is all but fed up with the nonchalant attitude of his younger teammates. Yep, knew that was going to happen. I was telling you during the regular season how there was a disconnect between Jimmy Butler, Carl Anthony Towns, and definitely Andrew Wiggins. There definitely was a problem between Butler and Wiggins. Butler probably wants to play in Boston to be closer to the Wahlbergs. Wouldn't surprise me. Butler and the Wahlbergs seem to be very close, so it wouldn't surprise me if he wants there, or maybe be in Los Angeles with the Clippers or Lakers. It wouldn't surprise me. But Butler being with Tom Thibodeau again, and then being with a bunch of guys that are good and could be great, but they just haven't found their niche yet. They haven't been able to reach the scratch the surface of how good they can really be. Butler probably doesn't have time for that that team to build and get better. So he probably wants to be with a winner. So it wouldn't surprise me if Butler goes to Boston or goes to the Lakers sometime in the near future. We will have Summer of Football. We'll talk about the Bears. How good can they be this year and next year and next year? That's next as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.